So the parking lot is slick. I'm sure you noticed that coming in. But after services, the ladies that came by themselves, if some men could just kind of help them out to their cars, that would be appreciated. I'd like to turn this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28. We'll read verses 13 and verse 14. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall in the mischief. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are, attention basically is directed to some of the dangers that so easily beset us as individuals. Stressed in those chapters, of course, is the value of wisdom, the importance of always pursuing wisdom. Also revealed in those first nine chapters is the proper attitude necessary for pursuing wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 7, he mentions righteousness. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Diligence, those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8, verse 7. Teachableness, Proverbs 9, verse 9, give instructions to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Reverence, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, 10. Humility, Proverbs 11, 2, with the lowly is wisdom. So that we need those attitudes of righteousness, diligence, teachableness, reverence, and humility, because wisdom is found in these things. So chapters 1 through 9 basically serve as a preface to the Proverbs, which start in verse 10. The actual Proverbs themselves begin with verse 10. The Proverbs consist of two lines, which are a parallelism or a pair of statements alongside one another. The Proverbs of Solomon consist, of course, of various types of Proverbs or various types of parallelism. There's like five or six types. We're not going to go into that right now. But suffice it to say that the two Proverbs that we just read are antithetical. That is, two ideas are contrasted with one another. The second line states the same principle as the first line, but does so from a different viewpoint. And that's the most common proverb here in the book of Proverbs. So in this type of proverb, verse 13 and 14, we see the two lines are connected with the conjunction but. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That's one line. But, there's the connector. Second line, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Find the same thing down in verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. That's one line. Connector, but. Second line, same principle is being taught, but from a different viewpoint. So between these two lines, we have that word, but. It's a connecting word, but it's also a word of contrast. Now in these two statements, in verse 13 and verse 14. Let's just look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Two persons are introduced, and they have one thing in common: sin. That's something we all have in common. That's true of all. It's something every single one of us have in common. But there is a sharp distinction between these two individuals. We see also that there are two opposite courses that these two people take regarding their own sin. One covers his sins and confesses, and the other does just the opposite. So, and then we have two opposite results that are predicted. One is, you shall prosper. One is, you shall not prosper. And the other is, shall have mercy. So the distinction is very clear. The proverb of verse 14, happy is the man that feareth alway. Second line, he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. I believe is still dealing with the same subject of what we do with our own sin. More specifically here, though, it is the attitude that really shapes or determines what we do with our own sin. Again, between these two lines or statements of verse 14 is that conjunction. Again, two people are introduced, and again, there is a sharp distinction between these two individuals. And again, there are two courses to be taken. One feareth, one has reverence, one hardens his heart. And we see there are two results, one being happiness, one being mischief. Now, if you take the first line of verse 14, happy is the man that feareth alway. That would correspond to the second line of verse 13, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then, of course, the first line, and so on. So it is important that we realize that these proverbs are not just theory. They're principles for living. They are not just a collection of sayings. They are divine rules to govern human conduct. That's true of all these proverbs. These two proverbs speak of a subject, again, that we're all faced with: personal sin. Our own sin. In the two proverbs, one individual seeks to hide or block out or repress or ignore their sin. And it is plainly stated, he shall not prosper. He shall not prosper in his attempt to do so. He will not be able to hide his sin. And he shall not prosper spiritually. This individual, with every attempt to cover his sin, he does what is stated in verse 14. He hardens his heart. And he brings mischief into his life. I don't know that we realize that every time we choose the course to ignore or to cover our sin, we're hardening our heart. Every time we do that. And we're bringing mischief into our life. The other individual has a heart of reverence, and he confesses his sin, and mercy comes into his life. So we're going to speak this morning on the courses we take regarding our own sin. We all have sin. No one here would argue that. We sin every day. And every single one of us does something with the sin in our lives. Every time we sin, we do something with that sin. Anything short of confession, anything short of forsaking sin, is a covering it. And it will always involve spiritual decline. It will always involve spiritual hardness of heart. And it will always bring mischief into our lives. So there are only two courses we can take. We can seek to cover our sin, and that takes on countless forms we're not going to go into, or we confess and forsake it. But we want to ask ourselves, what course am I taking, or what course am I going to take regarding my own sin? So we want to ask that question. We want to ask that question in the light of several things. First of all, ask that question in light of the character of God. Though none of us fully understand, grasp the glorious, holy nature of God, the course that we take regarding our own sin really corresponds to our view of God. What I do with my sin speaks volumes of how I view God. And so it is with each one. God is holy. A holy God hates. And there's not a strong enough word to describe the hatred. A holy God hates all sin. He does so universally. He does so perpetually. He does so intensely. He absolutely loathes everything that is contrary to His holiness. We read in Psalm 7 and verse 11 that He is angry with the wicked every day. We ought to thank God that He does not display His anger every day, but He is angry with the wicked every day. The problem with us is if we get to thinking that if God is not displaying His anger, then it must be okay. God is angry with the wicked every day. There's no exception. Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. The very thoughts. So a holy God does not minimize sin. In light of who God is, in light of what God has done for us, in light of the blessings that God bestows upon us, we need to ask ourselves, what course am I going to take regarding my own sin? Secondly, ask the question in light of what sin is. Think about what sin is. In this day of political correctness, it does not change what sin is. Though man has tried to redefine sin, sin cannot be redefined. God has already defined it. And God's definition still stands today. Sin is referred to as a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is a trespass against the law of God. In other words, sin is going aside from whatever God prescribes in His law. What does that mean? That means that sin is an infraction of God's laws. Sin is a violation of the law of God. Now, if sin is an infraction of the law of God, if sin is in violation of the law of God, what does that make sin? It makes it a crime. It makes it a crime against God. Sin is a deviation. It is a digression from what God has said. That means that sin is an offense. It is an offense to God. It is an offense against the law of God. To summarize all that, sin consists of doing anything contrary to what God has said. Sin consists of not doing what God has told us to do. Sin consists of saying anything contrary to what God has said. Sin consists of thinking anything contrary to what God has said. Sin consists of imagining anything that is not in conformity with the mind and the law of God. So in light of that, what course am I going to take regarding my own sin, whether it be a sin of commission, a sin of omission, a sin of thought, a sin of imagination? What course am I going to take regarding my own sin? Secondly, sin is referred to as unrighteousness. 1 John 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Now, this is very simple. Sin is against what is right. It is in opposition to what is right. It is that which is disagreeable with God. So sin is against right. So that leads to the question, who determines what is right? The answer, God. God has already determined what is right. And God has written it in this book, what is right. So in light of the fact that all unrighteousness is sin, what course am I going to take regarding my sin? You take the course, well, everybody's doing it. You've taken the wrong course. That's the course of covering it. That's the course of excusing it. Sin is referred to as iniquity throughout the Word of God. And the word iniquity conveys the idea of twisting or perverting. It means that sin is a subversion and a misuse of what God has said. And in light of this, again, what am I going to do? What course am I going to take regarding my own sin? Sin is referred to as a rebellion against God. All sin, whether it be doing, thinking, imagining, all sin is an act of rebellion against God. Throughout the Word of God, Israel was often charged with this rebellion by God. In Isaiah 1 and verse 3, he says, they have rebelled against me. I don't think any of us have fully realized the seriousness of those words. They have rebelled against me. Rebellion is an act of resistance, whether it be outward or inward. It is an act of resistance. How foolish it is to resist or to try to resist God. Rebellion is opposition. How foolish it is to oppose God. Rebellion is an uprising. If sin is a rebellion against God, then sin is an uprising against God. It is an insurrection against God. It is a defiance of God, and it is a disregard of God and God's authority and God's laws. And as such, it is described in the Word of God as a striving and contending with God. We see that in Isaiah 45 and verse 9. God said, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Woe unto him that contends with his maker. Woe unto him that fights against his maker." Sin is a rebellion. It is a contending against God. It is also described in Micah 2 and verse 8 as a rising up against God as an enemy. He said there in Micah 2 and verse 8, "Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy." Sin is to rise up against God as an enemy. So sin is a reaction. But it is a reaction against God. Think about the seriousness of that. A reaction against God. It is a reaction against His authority. God is good to us. That's true of everybody sitting here. Whatever your life consists of right now, God has been good to you. And sin is a reaction against the very goodness of God. It is a reaction against His love. It is a reaction against His grace and His mercy. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God doesn't just let us have it every time we get out of line. And again, sometimes people get to think, well, God must approve. Do you understand? That is a reaction against the very long-suffering of God. It is a reaction against His wisdom. The laws that God has set down in this book, He has done so very wisely and for our good. And the sin is to react against the very wisdom of God. God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. And when God says do something and we don't do it, that is a reaction against the wisdom of God. Again, whether it be in the actual action or thinking, it is a reaction against His holiness. God hates sin. And when we sin, we react against His holiness. So really, sin is a casting aside the person of God. It is casting aside the Word of God. It is a wrong attitude toward God. You cannot sin and have a right attitude toward God. Every time we sin, we have a wrong attitude toward God. We have a wrong attitude toward the Word of God. Sin is an aversion to God. It is an attitude of ingratitude. Again, God has been good to us. God has lavished His blessings upon us. And when we sin, that is a reaction against the goodness of God. It is an act of ingratitude toward God. Sin is serious. Sin is really treason against God. It's treason against God. So in light of all of that, I sin. You sin. We deal with sin every single day. And we have to do something with it. What course am I going to take regarding my sin? Am I going to attempt to cover it, and in so doing I harden my heart and bring mischief into my life? Or am I going to confess it and forsake it out of a reverence for God? Sin also is referred to as filthiness of flesh and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Flesh being outward, spirit being inward. It is filthy. None of us fully understand how filthy a single sin is. Whether it be a thought, whether it be an act, whether it be an omission, it's filthy. Filth is repulsive. Sin is repulsive to God. It's disgusting. It's offensive. But something else about filth: it breeds germs. It's infectious. That's the way sin is. One sin breeds another sin. And as we've said many times, the psalmist prayed to be cleansed from the iniquities of his sin. Again, iniquities is perversions. There's many perversions. There's many twistings in one sin. There's many sins involved in one sin. But it's all filth. In this regard, it's compared to in Isaiah 30 and verse 22 as a menstruous cloth. Speaking of the filth of sin. It is likened to, in 2 Peter 2 in verse 22, as the mire and the dung that lies in the ditches in which the sows and the swine wallow. It's referred to as the vomit of the dogs. All this indicating the filth, the disgust of sin. Matthew 23:27, it is referred to as the stench of graves. And God describing the sin of his people, Jeremiah 2 and verse 20, uses the imagery of harlotry. And in Jeremiah 2 and verse 24, he uses the imagery of an animal in heat. God is saying it's disgusting in my sight. In light of the absolute filth, in light of the absolute disgust of sin, what course am I going to take regarding my own sin? Also, sin is to do as Satan does. It's satanic. Jesus said to the unsaved in John 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Ye are of your father the devil, and what he's basically saying is, and you're going to act like him. You see, that's what sin is. Sin is acting like the devil. 1 John 3 and verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Sin is a conformity to the very character of Satan. That's serious. Sin is to do what Satan does. Every time I sin, I am copying what the devil does. That ought to concern me. My own sin. Sin has the nature of Satan. Sin has the very features of Satan. Sin has the very behavior of Satan. So in light of the satanic nature, of sin. What course am I going to take regarding my own sin? Am I going to seek to cover it, thereby hardening my heart and bringing mischief into my life? Or am I going to confess it and forsake it? Which course are we going to take? Ask the question in light of what sin does. We sin. And sin always does something. When we sin, sin does something also. The Bible pictures sin as a thief. It's a thief. And we've said many times, there isn't anything in the world that has caused more heartache, that has caused more misery than sin. No plague throughout the history of the world has brought more heartache and misery than sin. Nothing has wrought more destruction than sin. Man today has destructive weapons. But if all of those weapons were unleashed at one time, it would not even come close to the destruction that sin has brought. Throughout history, there have been many what people call natural disasters. And these bring great devastation. But nothing compared to the destruction of sin. You see, the ravages of sin are illustrated all through the Word of God. The disabling power of sin is illustrated by the many maladies and disabilities that Christ healed during His earthly ministry. You take all the cases of demon possession that we read of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're all a picture of the enslaving, binding power of sin. We read of the blind being healed. And it is a picture of the blindness, the blinding power of sin. We read of leprosy, which reveals the pain of sin and the spreading nature of sin. We read of the fever, which speaks of the restlessness that sin causes. We read of various forms of paralysis, which illustrates the crippling power of sin. We see individuals begging in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, illustrating again the stripping power of sin. Sin, Hebrews 3 verse 13, is deceitful. It's fraudulent. It's deceptive. It will lie to you. It will say to you, you will gain, you will win, you will come out ahead. That will never be the case. Oh, it may appear at times that is so. But we can assure you from the Word of God, it's never so. You always lose. You always lose by sin. Sin is a lie. Sin is a deception. Sin will deceive you into thinking because it's accepted today, therefore there's nothing wrong with it. That's a lie. That's fraudulent. And man buys into it. Sin is always in opposition to our well-being. Sin is always in conflict to the well-being of man. It is in opposition to the good of man. It is in opposition to whatever is profitable to man. It is in opposition to our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, and our spiritual well-being. Sin. Sin is a very serious thing. It is in opposition to our comfort and to our joy. It is also set against our satisfaction. Sin will always disappoint. It always will. It will always fill your life with disappointment. Sin is contrary and set against man's peace and his rest. Sin will not bring you peace. Sin will not bring you rest. It's also contrary to the conscience of man. Conscience of man can be a tormentor. And I believe even lost people are tormented by their conscience. Sin. Sin is against everything about us. It's against the beauty of man. Look at some individuals. They may be 30 years old and they look like they're 70. Sin is against the beauty of man. Not only are sins against our well-being, they're against the well-being of others also. They're against the well-being of your children. They're against the well-being of your grandchildren. They're against the well-being of those who are in contact with you. They're against the well-being of your home. They're against the well-being of your family. They're against the well-being of this church. Sin. So in light of all of that, what are we going to do? What course are we going to take regarding our sin? If I sin, that is against my well-being. It is against my wife's well-being. It's against my children's well-being. It's against the church's well-being. What course am I going to take? Am I going to try and cover it and bring more mischief in? Or am I going to confess and forsake it? In light of everything we've said thus far, how bad is a single sin? Just how bad is one sin? Whether it be a sin of committing or omitting or thinking or imagining, how bad is one sin? One sin is deserving of the eternal wrath of Almighty God. One sin. One sin. And our sins are innumerable. Is there anyone here that would say, I've only committed one sin in my whole life? If that were so, and it's not, but if it were so, you would be deserving of eternal wrath of God. But we have innumerable sins. Our sins cannot be numbered. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:12, he asked the question, who can understand his errors? He's talking about sin. I mean, who can understand in regard to the number of our sins? Who can understand in regard to the degree and to the extent of our sins? Think of the individual sins of a day. And then remember that all those sins that you can recall, there's more than that. There's sins that you've committed that you don't even know you committed. And then you think of all the sins of a week, and a month, and a year, and of a lifetime. We must realize we sin every single day. What course am I going to take regarding my own sin? There's really only two courses to take. Which is it going to be? Lastly, ask the question, in light of the fact that there is forgiveness with God. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17, Thou art a God ready to pardon. That verse is in the Bible every single day. Every single moment of every single day. Every time I sin, that verse is in the Bible, Thou art a God ready to pardon. Every time I sin against God, I rebel against Him. It is a reaction against God. But Thou art a God ready to pardon. It is an act of treason against God, but Thou art a God ready to pardon. Psalm 130 and verse 4, there is forgiveness with Thee. He is a God ready to pardon. And there is forgiveness with God. The Lord said in Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I, even I, am He that blotteth out transgressions for my own sake, for my own glory, not for my sake, but for His own glory. In Daniel 9 and verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Though we have rebelled against Him, there is mercy with God. There is forgiveness with God. Oh, what a blessing. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So in light of those statements, what course am I going to take regarding my sin? I sin. God is ready to pardon. There is forgiveness with God. Knowing that, am I going to cover my sin and harden my heart, or am I going to confess it and forsake it and find the mercy of God? I mean, which makes sense? God in His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His love cleanses and washes away sin. And He removes it as far as the east is from the west. There is forgiveness with God. What does that mean? What does it mean that God forgives us? It means that we find a new closeness to Him. You see, sin will always drive you further from God. But with forgiveness, there's a newfound closeness to the Lord. And oh, what a blessing. When you find that new closeness to God. With forgiveness, that means you find a new fellowship with God. Sin, to some degree, breaks fellowship with the Lord. We find a new comfort, a new peace, a new joy. So in light of all that, what course am I going to take regarding my sin? We all have this in common. We sin. We sin. And we sin every single day. And we all must do something with that. What course am I going to take regarding my sin? Am I going to try and cover it? He that does so shall not prosper. And that doesn't mean that merely that they will not prosper spiritually, that's true. But you will not succeed in covering it either. The book of Numbers says, be sure your sin will find you out. Oh, it may not be today. It may not even be next week. It may not even be in your lifetime. But be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. There is a price There is a price to be paid. Not only that, there is a price being paid every time we sin. Oh, may we recognize how much is at stake in regard to our own sin. If we could just get a glimpse of how much we have lost in our life because of sin. You say, well, I can repent of it and God will forgive me. That's true if you truly repent. But do you realize that before you repent, you've already lost? You've already lost. We lose every time. Oh, that we would realize what's at stake. Every sin. Again, it's mystified. It's really not, but it's hard sometimes to understand the thoughts that will go through our minds. We know why. It's depravity. But oh, there's only one person. There's only one who knows our every thought. And that's God. And He'll forgive us. And I've said this many times before, if there was any other person in this world that knew every thought you've ever thought, you would not have a friend in the world. You wouldn't have anybody that would want anything to do with you at all. But there's one who knows all. Not only does He know our thoughts, He knows what we would have thought had He not prevented us from thinking it. God is merciful. God is gracious. And there is forgiveness with the Lord. So yes, we all sin. We all fail God. But aren't you glad that God is ready to pardon? Don't take the wrong course concerning sin, which is covering it. But confess it. Forsake it. Confess it to God. Forsake it. Confession's not enough. It's he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy. There must be a confessing. There must be a forsaking. That's repentance. God help us to take the right course regarding our own sin. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.